You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Sword during it all in the virtually incessant bombardment, Colonel William Barrett Travis drew a line on the ground before his battle-weary men. In a voice trembling with emotion, he described the hopelessness of their plight and said, "Those prepared to give their lives in freedom's cause, come over to me." Without hesitation, every man save one crossed the line. Colonel James Bowie, stricken with pneumonia, asked that his cot be carried over. For 12 days now, since February 23rd, when Travis answered Mexican General Antonio Lopez de Santa Anna's surrender ultimatum with a cannon shot, the defenders had withstood the onslaught of an army which ultimately numbered 4,000 men. Committed to death inside the Alamo were 189 known patriots who valued freedom more than life itself. Many such as the 32 men and boys from Gonzales who made their way through the Mexican line in answer to Travis's plea for reinforcements for colonists. Theirs was a fight against Santa Anna's intolerable decrees. Others were volunteers such as David Crockett and his Tennessee boys who owned nothing in Texas and owed nothing to it. Theirs was a fight against tyranny, wherever it might be. A handful were native Texans of Spanish and Mexican descent who suffered under the same injustices as the other colonists. Now with ammunition and supplies all but exhausted, yet determined to make a Mexican victory more costly than a defeat, those who rallied to the Texas cause awaited the inevitable. Today, February 24th, marks the beginning of the siege on the Alamo. To Texans, this is a sacred event, and what it celebrates is the individual's plight against the centralist tyranny. Travis fell with a single shot through his forehead, and the Mexicans swarmed through the breach into the plaza. They fought with a frightful cost and blasted its massive doors with cannon, and its defenders, asking no quarter and receiving none, were put to death with grape shot, musket fire, and bayonets. The Alamo is a battle cry for Texans still today. So what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about the bravery that people in history have demonstrated to fight tyranny. And also what's changed with our culture, and why do we so easily give over to the tyrannies that exist? I want to bring on Captain Chris, who lives in San Antonio and has a great understanding of this. Captain Chris, are you there?
I'm here, Captain Fred. How are you doing?
Well, you know, today marks an important event to most Texans. It's the beginning of the siege of the Alamo. I know that most of the United States and a lot of the listeners aren't really aware of what the colonists were fighting. But there were a lot of inequities that were going down in Texas at the time, and what they had done is they had the Mexican government had decided to settle the Texas frontier, and Texas at that time was a state of Mexico, and in that state there were rules for occupation. And the rules of the occupation or buying property and living in the Mexican state of Texas were that you had to comply with Mexican laws, and you had to become a Mexican citizen, and you had to become Catholic. You had to learn Spanish, and you had to obey Mexican law, and you also couldn't own any slaves. So there were a lot of problems with the settlers that came to the Texas at that time, much as today we're having a lot of problems with the settlers that come to the United States. What can we learn from some of these events that happened in our history?
Well, you know, Fred, first I'd look to this and say that it was merely 60 years prior that the American Revolution set forth a proposition that was really very, very, very radical and threatened the institutions in Europe, that the rights that man had, that people had, and have today, don't come from, they are not given to people by the government. Rights that we enjoy are not something that the government gets to dole out or withhold. That was really the fundamental, if you read the Declaration of Independence, that was the real proposition. And along with those rights, as ultimately evolved into the Bill of Rights, were certain freedoms that we now understand that are ours inherently. The freedom to speak, assemble, practice one's religion, to have security against government tyranny, no quartering of troops. You've got the right to defend yourself with arms. The government can't just crash into where you are and search you and toss your house. And you've got due process rights against actions that the government might take. These were very, 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 very radical, ideas. And today, if you take those views to other places on the planet, you will find that the government does to you today in those places what the king would do or other governments would do to you at the time of the revolution. You couldn't speak freely. It was treasonous. If the government didn't like what you said, you could wind up in jail or be killed.
Well, that's kind of true today, too, isn't it?
Well, you know, that's where we get to. And today it's a little more subtle. It's about the pressure that we get that inhibits conduct and speech. But the folks in the Alamo, you know, defending those rights to the death. You know, as you mentioned, people fought their way into the Alamo to die there in defense of those rights. And historically, in Texas and all over the country, as we grew up in school, the Alamo represented something. It represented a point of pride, as did, you know, the defense of Fort McHenry, that's depicted in the Star Spangled Banner. These were acts where people were willing to lay down their lives to not go back to the system where the government told them, you'll put up with what we give you. And if you don't like it, you've got a problem. Now, that defense of those liberties to the point of death was viewed when I was growing up as a source of pride, a source of reaffirmation of American values. Now, recently, you know, you'll hear people say that the Alamo and the Texas Revolution was an expression of imperialism. So what you get is the transmutation of what is defense of values into an act of hostility toward a certain group within this country, or a certain stripe of political thinking within this country. And it brings us back to the point of why and how is it that today so many of the things that we held so close as representations and high watermarks of American character, the celebration of our values, are turned now into pernicious, small-minded, wicked kind of evil representations of some sort of oppression. How does that happen, Brad? And I think that, you know, I celebrate the Alamo as just an astonishing moment in human history, not just American history, but in human history. How do we get, you know, it's like Vito Corleone says, you know, in The Godfather, pull us out. How did we get to this place? You know, we were sitting at the meeting with the five family. You know, how did we get here? And you and I have talked, you know, that we have in this country behavioral, racial, and gender differences. But these differences are not what make us Americans. In other words, there are people of all sorts of different ways of life and thoughts, and they look different and they act different, but we're all Americans if and when we celebrate that which makes us Americans. And what is it? What is it that makes us Americans? And I'm here today to represent that it's the values that are shared and are protected, that we protect each other's values and the ability to celebrate those things that make, and those freedoms that make us Americans. That's what makes us Americans. Not the fact that what we have are, and we should celebrate, the fact that we're made up, and it's the national motto. There are many, many, many different groups in our country, but when we share those values, we are all first Americans. On the other hand, if what we do is we lead the political discussion and we lead our behavior with our differences without reference to our values, that behavior and expression becomes divisive. In other words, when we become a group or a stripe rather than an American celebrating our values, that, and we triumph that over other groups or other people's expressions of their values, what happens, in my opinion, is we become less American and become divisive. And let me give you an example. If you're a gay American, you know, and that's not my, it's not my deal, but I really don't care. I mean, that's what other people do. That's their business. But in this country, you do what you could express yourself. And to underscore what the difference is about being an American is take that behavior that the Saudi Arabia and or other countries in the Middle East, and what happens is they'll throw you off a building. They'll kill you for that behavior. They'll kill you for the behavior. And interestingly, if you talk about the fact that they will kill you in those countries, another group wants to censure and restrict your speech. So when we look at behaviors amongst people, and we see that when that stripe becomes not a part of who we are in shared values, but it becomes a difference that is the most prominent in the expression of other people above other things, including values, what happens is that behavior becomes divisive. And we owe it to ourselves to protect our values and to remind the other people in this country that first, we have principles and values, and we have to adhere to those. One of them is that we have the right to vote and choose our own laws. And if you don't like the law, change the law. You don't get to break the law. There you go.
Right. Well, go ahead. I want to add something to what you're getting at. Go ahead.
And what happens during the political moments in American politics is the echo chamber of the East and West Coast take it on to stimulate and aggravate the sentiments of certain voting blocks to get them agitated enough that they'll vote in greater numbers. And what happens then in order to get those groups agitated to vote? They are given messages through the media to make them lead with their difference. And it's that difference that is supposed to motivate them to vote a certain way. And predominantly in the mainstream media, you don't have to be a genius to figure this out. It's to vote Democrat. I'm not here to tell you that there aren't, you know, push-button issues that show up to get Republicans or conservatives to vote, but for the most part, what this is about is agitating the Democratic, what you call it, identity politic groups to get on vote. And let me, I said this last week, whatever happened to Black Lives Matter? You know, before the 16 cycle presidential campaign, you couldn't go a 2 days without having something about Black Lives Matter. Trump gets elected, and I guess Black lives don't matter anymore to the press, because you sure don't hear stories at the frequency and at the level that you used to. You used to hear it every day. You know, so what happened? Why are we hearing about these kinds of stories, the hashtag Me Too, and what's really underneath this gun control thing? You know, we hear that day after day. We're hammered with hashtag Me Too. We're hammered with, you know, with things about victim politics. And the shooting in Florida, you know, it is a tragedy. And we should do everything to prevent those things from ever happening again. This entire process is being motivated and constructed, in my opinion, around a voting group that the Democrats figured cost them the 16 election. And they realized that what it was is it wasn't African-American voters. It wasn't the Black Lives Matter. So Black Lives don't matter anymore to them. I suspect that they didn't matter that much after I watched the Black Caucus sit on their hands after Trump announced that the unemployment rate in the Black community was the lowest it's ever been since the records were kept. And I didn't see a whole lot of those that Black Caucus get up and clap or applaud for that information and that progress. This is politics, and what happens is they figured out in the 16 election that what cost them the presidency was suburban women. So now what we're going to get, and what we've been getting, are issues that tend to put suburban women at odds with the Republican Party. The Republican Party, but not completely and not only, has a lot of support for people who believe in gun ownership, as I do. I believe people have the right to defend themselves. I'm not, you know, my wife was in a traffic accident. I waited 2 hours for the police to show up. You know, you call 911 in some place, you get a recording. You know, if there's someone in your home at 3 o'clock and they're not supposed to be there, I think that relying on the state to protect you is foolish. You ought to be prepared to protect yourself. Well, some people get involved with the use of firearms and they harm others. But here's what I'd suggest, and I want to put this in a juxtaposition. The two groups of people who've been harming people with firearms at a mass level, they are almost exclusively, go back to all of the shootings that you've had, the two groups. One are religious fanatics, Muslims for the most part, and fanatic Muslims, a lot of centrist Muslims, and I would rather hear their voices more loudly, but they're part of it. The other part of it are people who have a demonstrated history of mental illness. And I don't mean someone who's just a little goofy. I mean someone who's got a major issue. And we need to explore this. And after this break, perhaps we will.
Chris, the point that I'm trying to make is that sometimes, you know, we're on the sides that we seem to oppose at the beginning, but we'll take this up on the backside of this break here. This is Captain Fred, Republic Broadcasting Network, on February 24th of 2018. We'll be back.
rest of the communion to a union. Harry Truman is the police.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
When Stephen Austin's father negotiated the land grant from Mexico prior to the Mexican Revolution, they were offered land at 12.5 cents an acre, and that's about a tenth of the price of land anywhere else at the time in the West. And but the, when they offered them that, they had rules that you had to comply with to be able to buy this land in the Mexican state of Texas. And the rules were obvious, and they were imposed by the Mexican government. They said that people had to be approved before they purchased land in Texas. The Mexican government didn't want criminals on the run and didn't want to have to chase people from fleeing debt. They had required that they become Mexican citizens and become Catholics, learn Spanish, obey Mexican laws, and own those slaves. You know, these sound a lot like some of the rules that we're asking the illegal immigrants in the United States to comply with also. Why would it be an exception for us to expect them to do the same thing? And don't you see that it's kind of an ironic state that we're in right now?
Do I think it's ironic? No, it's part of the divisive echo chamber process that's supposed to tell you that you can't oppose folks who want to be here, that have open borders, however they want to be here, whether they're gangs from El Salvador, or whether they're people who are criminals from other countries. We're not supposed to get involved with that, and we're going to be threatened with having evil motives. And the evil motives are expressed every day. You're a homophobe, or you're a racist, or you're somebody who doesn't like foreigners. You're suspicious, or some sort of venal, evil kind of motive about that. Even though what you're talking about is suggesting that people who want to be in this country first obey the law. Now, how radical is that?
Well, that's what Santa Ana wanted. Santa Ana wanted everybody in Texas to obey the law. Santa Ana wanted them to speak Spanish. I mean, that's sounds a lot like a lot of the right-wing people here in the United States. They'd like to see everybody coming in speak English. And had Santa Ana and the Mexican government at that time been more inclusive, do you think that we would have had the Texas Revolution?
Yes.
this is an interesting topic because we're on different sides of this equation now, only 160 or 70 years later.
Yeah, but Chris, I think it's going to stay that way. I think it's going to become more focused, and I think it's going to become more divisive. No, because the underlying value changes the electoral politics in states that really control. Florida and Texas being states that have a tremendous immigrant population. And what happens is with the reversal of those two states, every electoral college count is going to be Democrat. And what happens with all that, and I'm not railing against the Democrats, a lot of fine Democrats, they have a lot of, really good ideas. But there are some problems with changing the United States against or over the values that we talked about. There is nothing wrong with those values. Those values are sacred. They need to be defended. And defending them doesn't make you an evil person. And it doesn't make you somebody who's a hater. It means that you are looking to values that are actually very inclusive. But if they're not expressed exactly the way that the MSM, the mainstream media, wants you to express them, or if certain groups will allow you to express them, then you become a venal, vicious, mean, elitist, or something-ist kind of person. And I find that troubling. Not just because I watch these values under assault, but because I think it's those values that separate us from all of the other governments that have come before us. And they deserve, and people have died, and they deserve the respect of all of us. But anyway, I'll step back here. Did we get a chance to take phone calls, Fred?
Well, right now I think we've got some computer issues. I'm not really even sure if my mic's hot. Do you hear me now?
I hear you.
Oh, okay. Well, we will take some callers on the second half here. This is the Republic Broadcasting Network, and the call-in line here is 1-800-313-9443. I think the board operator's having a few issues right now, so we're going to keep going until he gets everything back online. And oh, here it is. He's coming up here right now. But Jeff, we would like to take a few callers on this topic because I think there's a lot to be discussed here. We'll be back in a few minutes. This is Captain Fred. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back. This is Captain Fred, Republic Broadcasting Network. We're discussing some of the similarities and differences between the Texas Revolution and some of the conditions that exist today in the United States. Herodias said that very few things happen at the right time, and the rest do not happen at all. The conscientious historian will correct these defects. But, Chris, it seems to me that Santa Ana what he was a hero of the Mexican-Spanish Revolution. And once he got elected, he threw the Mexican Constitution out, and he wrote a new one that was basically named him as dictator. He also decided that the things that was happening in Texas, because we weren't obeying his laws or the rules of our settling here in the state of Texas, he decided to send troops into other states as well as Texas to quell these lawbreakers. But as it turned out, I think it was ego that challenged him more than anything else. Do we have the same kind of situation happening right now with the lawmakers here in the United States? Is it our ego that pushes us to do some of these things we're doing, or are we being manipulated by a far greater or different sinister force?
Captain Fred, in my opinion, we are being manipulated, and we're being manipulated by political interests. And what we're supposed to do is focus on differences, and we are supposed to react in a way that becomes divisive. And this is on purpose. And we've talked about this before. We're being manipulated so that we react to certain hot-button issues. And we react in a way that is interpreted as being hostile by some person or group on the other side of the issue. And it becomes that antagonism that is the center point of the political discourse. And what we don't focus on is what the people in Washington are doing to us while we're busy fighting about things like gun control. You know, I can understand why someone would say, we need greater control over guns because guns are used to kill people. And I can also understand why some, I don't agree with that. I don't think.
Yeah, we need greater control over cigarettes too, because cigarettes kill people too, probably more than guns.
Well, the thing is, if you look to Europe, where they don't have a lot of firearms, people get into cars and drive them through crowds. They go get industrial explosives and blow people up. They throw acid on each other or stab people. So the idea is, when you've got a group of people whose agenda is to hurt others, the idea that by taking a particular tool away from them, you're going to stop them, or even more absurdly, if you pass a law, I'm not really sure that anybody who was going to go in and rob a bank, who's a convicted felon, who's taking a gun in there, is going to stop for a minute and say, I'm not going to take a gun into the bank to rob it because I'm a convicted felon. That's against the law. So I'll take a bathroom plunger or, a tire tool or something. I don't think that's how that goes. The other thing is that when you have a class of people who have mental illness issues, those people, I don't think, are rationally lined up to give a hoot about what the law is about firearms use or possession. So the idea that what we're going to do is take a religious fanatic or a felon or a nut job and say, it's illegal for you to have that gun. I don't think they care. I don't think it's going to make a damn bit of difference. On the other hand, when we have situations, and this has come up before, in that shooting in Colorado, where the guy goes into the Batman movie and shoots the place up, or this kid down in Florida, that's a kid, he was over 18, goes into a school and shoots the place up. There were people who knew. There were people who knew that these folks, and with religious fundamentalists, people know that the person involved in the transaction, the violence against others, was going to, or was very likely to be involved in that procedure. At that point, when someone communicates that to law enforcement and nothing is done, or the ability to communicate to law enforcement about these things is impeded, that's where the real danger is. To me, that's what needs to be reformed. We need a greater response from law enforcement when that information is presented to them, and we need to have the kind of support for people who will come forward and say, this guy over here, he's posting on Facebook, I know that the police aren't watching the NSA, may be recording it all, but nobody's really watching it this closely. But I see this guy, what he's saying is he wants to go shoot people, and I've seen him with a gun. Let's check this guy out. I'm going to tell the police. He's making public statements about shooting people. And nothing happens. People say, I don't want to do that because I'm going to be accused of being an Islamophobe if the person involved is a fundamentalist Muslim. Or they say, well, I might get sued if I tell somebody that, Joey's kind of a nut job and he's got a bunch of firearms and he's talking about shooting people. We need support systems in that area. The idea that by banning firearms, you're going to keep a crazy person or a religious fundamentalist or somebody who's got an agenda, like robbing a bank, from using a firearm because there's a law is just silly.
There's a lot of combinations that prevent people from responding correctly to a situation like that. I understand that there was a security guard at the door of the school shooting that stood there while the shooting was going on rather than enter or try to intercede in the carnage. I mean, was it his pension that was preventing him to push through that door? Or, courage is something that the people in the Alamo didn't really even think about. I mean, they were ready to lay down their life for ideas and thoughts to defeat tyrannies. Yet the tyranny of a shooter in a school was was sit there and unimpeded. I mean, we don't have the mental character anymore to be able to intercede. We're so drawn by all these, like you say, these distractions, differences to really be part of a group.
Well, most people aren't armed. And what happens is that when somebody with an agenda, be it an insane agenda or a kind of particularized agenda, either be religious or just crime, as an agenda. I'm not suggesting everybody grab a gun, but what I'm saying is if we are not armed, we're at a disadvantage. And the idea that the government's going to make it more difficult for me to protect myself because they think they're going to stop some guy who's going to commit a crime anyway, or somebody who's crazy, or somebody who has fundamentalist ideas about not defending their religion, but just killing people to make a statement. That these people are going to be slowed down because there's an additional law. To me, it's just ridiculous. I mean,
I don't believe people really believe that. I think that's something the media is trying to push off. I don't meet very many people that agree with what the media is doing right now.
Well, the whole point is, as I mentioned before, I think that this is all the part to energize a particular voting block. The people who think about kids in school and, in a suburban school, are getting shot. And oh, my gosh, the government is not doing anything about it. And so who's in power now? And why aren't those people who defend firearms, the Second Amendment, they're saying that there shouldn't be anything done so this can happen again. And oh, my God. And so I'm not going to vote for those people. That's kind of the formula that's being pushed. And the thing is, I can't say that it is irrational to talk about firearms legislation. I think it's appropriate that people express those things. I have a different perspective in it, but I think that we ought to be talking about what are effective measures rather than the solution to this is to make different gun control laws. I just don't see how making the possession of a firearm or the use of a firearm to somebody who's already decided to break the law, rather rationally or because they're crazy, or they have an agenda, is going to stop them. It's going to reduce any of them. Tell me why this guy, Cruz, couldn't have gotten the gun someplace else, whether it was illegal or legal. What difference does it make? A lot of these people, like the guy out in Santa Barbara, they acquire firearms legally with strict gun laws. There are more homicides in places like Chicago and New York and Washington that have for generations some of the toughest firearm legislation. By the way,
well, you know, Chris,
we don't even hear about the number of homicides that are committed in those Democrat locations on a daily basis. What happens in Florida is a random act. Either maybe you think it's going to happen again, but you can guarantee, like an insurance actuarial, that young men are going to be killed in Chicago and in Los Angeles and in sections of New York and Washington, D.C. You can do it almost to a number with firearms. And you don't hear a peep about that because it's not energizing the voting base. What you hear about is a random event that's supposed to get a different voting group agitated to vote the way that the echo chamber wants. There are far more people who aren't in high school that are getting gunned down on a day-to-day basis. What about those people? What about their parents? These guys are Americans. Their parents are Americans. Their brothers and sisters are Americans. And we have no concern for them? I mean, I just don't understand. Yeah, I do understand it, but what I'm saying is it's like intellectually. I don't understand it, but I do, because it's not a news story, and it doesn't serve the agenda of the politically driven press. There's no reason to stop African Americans from shooting themselves in the street. There's no reason. There is a reason to agitate a voting group when one individual is shot by a police officer who happens and the person shot is African American. There's a reason to agitate a voting group when you can do it with suburban moms when there's an incident, a tragic incident like happened in Florida. But let me tell you, whoever got shot in Florida, and God pray for the soul, and the people who interceded and gave their lives to protect, you know, other Americans, you know, that's a tragedy. But the greater tragedy is nobody's paying attention to these other folks because it doesn't serve a political agenda.
Chris, the media doesn't really reflect the nation's thoughts or ideas. I think that they reflect their bosses' thoughts and ideas, which is the commercial interests that pay for their time. You know, the pharmaceutical industry. This the elephant in the room. They're talking about gun control, but have you heard anybody mention his blood test to see if he was under any of these psychotropic drugs like SSRIs that are confessed as causing depression and suicidal ideas and tendencies, and you've not heard that discussed at any time. I mean, why is it that you think that we can change things with a vote, and when people are so driven to be bum rushed by this media? I mean, as long as the media is continuing to drive in to the largest part of this populace, the stupid populace of the United States, these ridiculous, they're ridiculous priorities for our thoughts and our ideas. The priority of this gun control debate over the priority of family values. I mean, it's an insane culture that the media is driving right now.
Well, I don't think Fred, I disagree. I don't think it's insane. It's only insane, you know, as you react to it. Not insane at all. It's done with a purpose. It's done with a purpose to agitate and stimulate a voting group, because the people who are pushing this agenda have a political agenda. And the political agenda, if you watched election night, is as plain as the nose on your face. The people who still don't get the fact that they were clueless about what was going on in American politics. People who earn billions of dollars in the public forum were wrong, and they've never stopped to say, why were we wrong?
All right. Well, Chris, hang on a second. We'll be back. Last segment of the Fifth Dimension. We'll be back.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Welcome back. This is Captain Fred, Republic Broadcasting Network. Voting has become kind of a question for most people nowadays. The question is, has it become irrelative to our culture? Has it become irrelative to our government? It seems that the national or our law, which is the Constitution, has been put to the backside of the way our government operates. And the constitutional changes that you've suggested and that I've suggested don't seem to be gaining much ground against the media's constant diversions with every little incident that comes up. I'm not saying that the slaughter in Florida was little. I'm just saying that everything seems to be a distraction from us keeping our government's feet to the fire with our Constitution. Chris, how do we change this?
Well, first off, what the media does, and think about it as you watch it. As you watch, it doesn't matter what channel you watch it. What you're supposed to do primarily is react to what is being shown you. You're not supposed to think about it. You're supposed to react to it. Now, there's a difference. You know, there's one way of saying, you know, like, okay, there's a fire in my house. I can react to that. I start screaming and running around. You know, if I think about it, I'd say, like, how do I get out of here? You know, or how do I put it out? Those are two different ways of of being involved in a situation. And the media's idea is, on particular networks, is to get you to react. They do something, you respond particularly emotionally. They do this, and you're supposed to say, oh my God. You're not supposed to say, well, what did I just see? What did I just hear? And how do I manage that information? And how do I do something? What you're supposed to do is go, oh my God, and run around, oh my God, the house is on fire now, without thinking about what's the next step. And you and I, Fred, have talked about the fact that at a certain point in the political process, that the way down the road here, that the people on either side of these national elections have an awful lot in common. They're alligators. They've been referred to in the swamp. And we say this every week. It doesn't matter whether they're blue or they're red. They're alligators. And the idea that, an alligator is going to drain his own swamp is stupid. It's childish.
No.
So putting that idea to them and to appeal to a set of values that didn't drive them into Washington in the first place, that is to say, respect values, respect our collective rights, and the good governance of the United States versus your own selfish interests. To think that they're going to do that's kind of silly.
No,
we need a convention of states.
We need the convention of states. And with that, we're going to have to close it out today. Chris, thanks for showing up today. We'll be back. Hopefully the weather will be back with us good. This is Captain Fred. Till next week.
Noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to, so I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.